Good morning and welcome back to another episode of Breakfast with the Gators, part of the Stadium Miguel Network and presented by our partner, Norris & Norris PA. Norris & Norris PA is out of Lake City, Florida, a preeminent law firm serving North Florida since 1985. And you can give Guy a call at 386-752-7240 if you need any assistance with business law matters, real estate, wills, or trust, and estate planning. Well, fellas, we come to you, I guess, Monday night. Kind of a few hours after our defeat Saturday in Gainesville to unranked Auburn, kind of snaps Florida's five-game winning streak. Had the opportunity to take control of the SEC, and, you know, we're right back to where we started a few weeks ago. You know, kind of got a target on our back and got some work to do.
Yeah, I think it was a good reminder. It's hard to win the SEC, even when the SEC isn't quite as good. A couple games last year, like you remember the South Carolina game, came down late to Will Richard driving to the hoop. The stretch they were on, just beating teams by 15 to 25 points every game, kind of Saturday was a good reminder that it doesn't come that easy every game in the SEC.
Yeah, and also a reminder that, you know, the margin for error is a little bit smaller than it was last year. You know, we didn't turn the ball over a lot. We out-rebounded Auburn, so you kind of hit on those two keys. But then you look at, you know, the free throw shooting kind of regressed back to I think we were 16 of 27. It's 59% from the free throw line. Not good enough to win a close game in the SEC, even if it's at home. And then you look at the three-point shooting percentage. We went 7 of 27. That's 26% for the game. And that's just not good enough to get it done, especially against an Auburn team that, you know, came in hungry, that came in looking like we ruined their biggest season ever, that wanted their shot at the national champs, and they got it. They took advantage of the opportunity. So it was a disappointing loss. The Breakfast with the Gators podcast is back to being a tough coaching podcast because all it took was a couple of good stats putting out there that we're 38-2 at home in the last 40 games and that we're blowing everybody out at home for us to go out and lay an egg against a, you know, middle of the pack Auburn team this year. So good spot to get us back, you know, for Todd to get their attention back. Huge game now coming up this week against South Carolina on the road. And, you know, last year's team struggled in Columbia. So this year's team needs to certainly be ready to play if they want to get out of there with the win.
It's honestly kind of remarkable. Auburn's got seven losses with a guy named Keyshawn Hall on their team. 24 points. I think he had 22 of them in the first half. I think he shot like 7 of 11. Most of all of them but one were contested looks. I mean, we got a real look at an NBA caliber player Saturday in Gainesville.
Yeah, for that reason, one, a player just taking the game over, like you mentioned, Jackson, and then just other factors. It felt a lot like we were watching another one of the big non-conference games again, you know, not shooting the ball well, get down in an early hole, try to shoot ourselves out of the hole, still not shooting well, eventually crawl our way back, but then unable to get over the hump and get the win. But yeah, you're right. He absolutely took the game over and seemed like anytime he was putting up a shot, he was making it. Anytime Auburn needed to make a shot, they would make it. So it felt a lot like one of those early non-conference games, and thought hopefully the winning streak, we kind of learned our lessons from them, and we did kind of regress a little bit. Like Devin mentioned, the free throw shooting was really bad. You make some of those, could be a different result. But, you know, hopefully it's like we've said, hopefully it can just be a reminder. You got to bring it every single night and just a good little reset, and we can go on another five-game win streak.
I feel like with the free throw shooting, we're kind of at that stage where Saban was with Alabama, where every time Alabama lost in his like real dynasty run there for a couple years, they were missing field goals. And when they missed a field goal, you knew that the game was going to come down to the wire and they may win it, they may not, but it was like the surefire sign that they were going to miss field goals. And that's how I feel when you got Tommy Houck stepping up there, missing front ends of free throws. And I think at one point we were, you know, we ended up like 16 of 27, I think you said, but at one point it was like 3 for 9 or 10 or something like that. It was really abysmal there until we kind of we sort of leveled out in the second half. But tough loss. I really thought that when we sort of turned it on at the beginning of the second half, it seemed like Auburn was really struggling to guard us because of our movement and how we were finally back to our physicality that we'd been playing with the last five or six games. But then it was just weird. It was like we had moments where the ball stopped moving, and maybe it's just compounded by the fact that we couldn't make any shots. And so if, you know, you get some of those to go in, then the ball starts moving better. Players play with more confidence. But credit to Auburn. I thought they probably held us out of transition better than, you know, any other SEC team has done. And it just seemed like every time, even, you know, we'd have, I think on the last podcast, we were praising Condon's ability to take the ball in transition and really start the fast break. And we got, I mean, he only had 2 points. I know he had a couple assists, but had a bunch of turnovers, and he had one assist.
1 point.
1 point on a free throw.
Right in like the last minute.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we really just couldn't get anything going, but they shut us down in transition. And then once we got to the half court and Boogie and Xavier couldn't really make any shots, we just really struggled. And so it was almost going to come down to like, could Urban Clavjar make as many threes as he did in, you know, in the jungle last year. And for a minute, it looked like he was going to become the Auburn killer. Cause I thought he played pretty well, but I think that whenever it's really down to whether or not he can make shots, that he's not big enough to really get around those screens and get open, and teams can kind of key in on him. And so gives you a little bit of concern, cause you know, we could certainly see ourselves having a game like that in March, but if we had come out and sort of, you know, snuck that one out, we'd be talking about how, you know, this team is still right there, top of the SEC, pushing for a, you know, a top three seed kind of thing. And so I don't think it changes the outlook of the season. I think we just got to get refocused and go beat a mediocre South Carolina team.
I thought, I think it was one of you guys text during the game and said something to the effect of like, Auburn probably can't believe there's 11 minutes left. Like yeah. The way it felt that second half, got some stops early, hit a couple threes, got out in transition. And like you were talking about the transition game, I mean, it was firing on all cylinders from, I don't know what, 17 minutes in the second half to 11 minutes or so. And that's what really got them back in the game. And then from there, I mean, at that point, I thought they'd win going away, to be honest with you.
Yeah. It was like once we didn't get the goaltending call, when that got taken off the board, it was like all the momentum got sucked out. But I thought we were, you know, I think it was like 10-point favorites. So I thought we were about to cover.
Yeah, and there's like a three-possession stretch where it was the goaltending call got overturned. They like flashed even on the TV. It was like first lead since 2 minutes into the game or whatever.
Yeah, 3-0.
That gets overturned. Auburn goes down and scores, goes back up by two. Condon got the ball down low, like right under the hoop, passed it out to Tommy. He missed a three. The next possession defensively, Boogie had a foul reaching on a ball over the guard's head with like 1.7 on the shot clock. And then Chin missed two free throws. So in like a three-possession stretch, it went from looking like we were up two to down six like that. And that, like you said, it really took the air out of the arena, it seemed like.
Yeah, we went from we were down by 15 at the half to like 9.5 minutes left. It was already tied. And, you know, credit to Auburn. They took our best punch those first 10 minutes of the second half and overcame it. You know, you can't get down by 18 points at home in SEC in any game, but especially not in SEC play. And then, you know, you have Pat Adams inserting himself into the game to stymie any sort of momentum. You know, just when you kind of have them teetering and everything, you get your replays and your reviews and challenges or whatever. What's the other word they're calling the challenges now?
Appeals.
They're not the appeals.
Hey, so just anything you can to stop the game and get another commercial break in. It seems like just when we had them teetering, you had plenty of stoppages there midway through the second half. But like I said, I mean, there's no excuse. You can't get down by 18 points at home. So credit to Auburn. They withstood the furious comeback and the counterpunch and punched us and we couldn't punch back. Another thing that stood out was I thought that Ruben Chinyelu had established himself as, you know, the toughest, most physical big man, front runner for SEC Defensive Player of the Year, one of the best rebounding bigs in the conference, if not the best. And they just kind of handled him. I mean, 7 rebounds, that's got to be the fewest he's had in a game in conference play. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but just as non-factor, as little bit of a non-factor as he's been, you know, in several weeks, rebounding the ball. It was felt like Auburn made it a point to crowd the paint, to rebound, and, you know, force us to shoot better than 7 of 27 from three, and just couldn't do it. So it's a bummer, bad loss, but, you know, time to move on.
Yeah, I would say that's more just of Auburn game plan and take them out of the game. And they executed. They had guys, three or four guys. Anytime we got a touch on the low post, they were causing havoc. I think Kondo had four turnovers, two jump balls also in those sequences. I just think they did a really good job of making sure two, three guys were focused on Chinilu and forced us to shoot the outside shots. So I don't think it's anything on Ruben not having his best game. I just think they neutralized him. I mean, 10.7 boards is a quiet game from what we're accustomed to these last two weeks. But, I thought they just did a tremendous job.
When you're getting so much focus on neutralizing Ruben, though, that's when you need Condon to step up and for him to lay a total egg. That's disappointing from, you know, your front court guys that if they shouldn't be able to guard both of them. If they're doubling Chinyalu, then they shouldn't be able to hold Condon to 1 point and whatever he had, 9 rebounds, I think. But he shouldn't be neutralized at the same time that Chinyalu's neutralized.
Agree. And we talked about this a few episodes ago. Just the loud plays that Condo makes is usually going in the wrong direction for Florida. And that certainly was on repeat, it felt like, Saturday in the O-Dome.
Yeah.
The other guy that his mistakes are always loud is Lee, man. When he turns it over or something, it looks ugly. It's just a simple chest pass or something. It's like simple. What was it? There was one where like he got the ball to like start a break, dribbles it up the court. They had numbers. It was 3-on-2 or 4-on-3. He dribbled the ball for, I don't know, 9 or 10 seconds to set up the offense, pass it up, ran around the perimeter, got the ball back, and then just stared Tommy down and threw one away, and Auburn 2 going the other way. I mean, it was just like, what are we doing? I think that was when he got taken out of the game and didn't play. I don't think he came back in until like maybe a minute left. It was like garbage time.
Until we were down and we needed threes there. And it was that last minute was kind of a comedy of like Florida's season shooting the ball where, you know, we were getting every single offensive rebound and we missed like 4 or 5 right in a row. And then Auburn finally got a rebound. We had to foul. But the silver lining with Condon is he seems to have one of these like absolute stinkers, doesn't know how to play basketball type games a year. But then after he sort of wakes up and really turns it on and, you know, shows that he has NBA potential. So hopefully we got that out of the way early and he's good and focused for the rest of the season.
I mean, you can only hope. I mean, I'm not looking at all of the box scores, but I feel like in the games that we have lost, I don't know if he's played as, you know, I think he kind of sticks out as someone that you've relied upon and has his weight. So hopefully, you know, that was a stinker of all stinkers and can get it out of the way because, you know, 1 point on a foul shot at the end of the game when you need him to be, you know, he was preseason All-American. You know, you need that, especially when you're getting that out of Chin. Weren't expecting it. You were expecting Tommy to hold his weight. And the quietest, what was it, 27 points out of Tommy at end of the game with. But, you know, you need Condon to – you can't have those games, especially when we can't shoot the ball either. You know, like Condon's got to get it together.
It seems like every game we know what we're going to get from Ruben and Tommy Howe, and then you know Urban's going to hit – at least 1-3, and then you know Boogie's going to play pretty well defensively. And it's kind of just like, can Xavien Lee hit enough shots to outweigh how poor he is defensively? And is Kondo awake?
Yeah, like is he interested in playing basketball today?
Yeah, otherwise he might be out of Midtown. Who knows?
Yeah, and I mean, even Saturday, it was 37% from the field. 26 from three, sub 60 from the free throw line, and still in it late, it felt like. You know what I mean?
I mean, same thing with all the other losses. Like right there, and it's the best teams in the country where you need literally two threes at any point in the game to win.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of felt like you needed one of either like Boogie, Lee, or Condon to just do something. You know what I mean?
Boogie missed all his threes.
Yeah, he was 4 of 12 from the field and 0 for 4 from 3.
Yeah. It's another reminder of how special last year's team was too, because just how inevitable last year's team was when we got down and made a comeback like that and you know, you're tied with 9 minutes left. You just assumed, and I did the same thing on Saturday, you just kind of assume that, oh, we're going to win. And when they don't, it kind of takes you aback a little bit. You kind of start questioning everything. Like, why? How did that happen? How did, you know, why couldn't we hit those couple big open looks, or, you know, why couldn't we get that stop? And it's just because of what we grew so accustomed to with watching with last year's team that, you know, seeing a team that doesn't necessarily have that gear all the time, that, you know, you claw your way back into a game, you tie it up, and you just kind of take for granted, oh, we're going to close this game out. And then you look up at the end and, you know, you have a possession where you miss four threes in a row. Yeah. So it's a different group, different ceiling probably, but I still think that they're very good. It's just a matter of not having those kind of nights, you know, at the worst times.
I also think Auburn is probably better than we're giving them credit for. Todd said coming in, you know, obviously he's going to talk up his buddy Stephen Pearl, but he said they were better than their record. I think their roster makeup is pretty good. They're probably dealing with some similar issues as we were with a little bit of, you know, figuring out how all the transfers play together. But like, you know, I remember on the last pod, we were talking about how poor they were defensively, and they, like, I know we missed a lot of threes, but on the interior, they just absolutely shut us down. We're playing fantastic defense. They were making life really difficult on Ruben and Kondo. They've gotten a little bit of foul trouble, but still worked their way through it. And, you know, they didn't give any up any loud and ones. And whenever they did foul us, like, we couldn't make the free throws anyways. And so I was really impressed with how they were defensively. And so I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, that was by far, it seemed like their best game of the year. And it sure, it was like an emotional thing for playing for Steven and Todd and, you know, avenging last year or whatever. But I think they're better than, you know, a 7-loss team for sure.
Yeah. At least none of us got old takes exposed on Twitter and went after by, you know, the other team's fans after the game, right?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know who would have tweeted something pregame.
It wasn't me this time, which is nice. So
I was with you, though. I didn't tweet it.
You were. Maybe is that your way of saying that I rubbed off on you and that it is my fault?
Will was the editor in chief. One more Oxford comma there, Jackson. Tweet.
What was the tweet that they went after so hard?
It's a shame College Game Day isn't in Gainesville for the Final Four rematch. One team can't sustain success. It's really shameful. And yeah, they found it. I told Paul Norris before when I tweeted it. I was like, I hope Auburn fans find this. Well, they certainly did after they put it to us.
Dude, the Breakfast Saturday Boys are kind of doing numbers on some of these historical SEC West teams between LSU, Auburn, Ole Miss, Alabama.
They have the old take exposed us, man. They love that.
Yeah. Now, that guy's a Gator alum, too. I mean,
grifter.
Glad he's a listener.
I would like to see how the team responds, I guess, Wednesday night, a little bit later, tip in the week for us.
That's my bedtime, Raymer.
I know. It's what time is that game?
9 o'clock.
It's at 9. It could be a blessing. It could ultimately, you don't want to say losses are good things. Although, after the 2014 team that won 30 games in a row, I kind of am a big believer in losses can be good. Happened last year when we lost to Georgia, and then we were like, oh, it's a good loss. But South Carolina historically has been a just house of horrors for Florida on the road. Doesn't matter how good our team is, they always seem to give us hell there. And so I think that is very unlikely to happen with the team probably getting their butts chewed and then, looking to come out. And so the Auburn loss is a quad one loss. certainly, you know, makes our record, I think, 4-6 in quad one games. Don't want to take one, but if you have to pick one, you're going to want to pick a quad one loss as opposed to, you know, dropping a stinker on the road to South Carolina or something like that, where, you know, which would really be a damaging seed line type loss like we had a couple of years ago. So hopefully the guys get right mentally and they come out firing on all cylinders up in Columbia on Wednesday night.
Go ahead,
Jack.
It would just be interesting. I mean, Auburn kind of gave the other teams in the league the blueprint of taking Florida out of the game. And I'm sure they're watching the film and triple teaming down in the low post. And, you know, Condon, we've seen him be a little shaky with the basketball in his hands. He just doesn't play to his size down low.
But I think a lot of that has to do with their personnel. Like, they've got Keyshawn, what's his name? Their big center, he's like 6'11". He was at Miss State last year.
Sebastian.
No, not Sebastian, Williams. but they have the size and strength to handle us inside, and there are not many teams that can compete with us like that. Like, that's why we were able to dominate, you know, Vanderbilt on the glass, is they couldn't compete with us. And so like Alabama, you know, even if they're playing G League guys, I don't think they're going to be able to hold up inside. Tennessee couldn't. And so even though the blueprint might be out, like, you still think it's been Missouri could do it. Arizona could do it. Duke could do it. UConn could do it. Now Auburn could do it, but there are not many teams like that match up that well with us.
Yeah, regardless, you're going to have the bodies. This would be a exceedingly bad loss if they let one loss become two. You know, it's always hard to play on the road. South Carolina's 77th in KenPom, 84th in offensive efficiency, 82nd in defensive efficiency. They got home losses already in conference play by double digits to Vanderbilt, lost at home to Georgia. They did beat Oklahoma in their last home game, but just got absolutely smacked in College Station on Saturday. So, I mean, we know it's an average South Carolina team. That hasn't always mattered when we've gone to Columbia. But this is one that they need to just bank in the win column, do what you got to do to find a win and get out of there and get back home and start getting ready for a big, big home game against the semi-pro Alabama Crimson Tide.
Sounds like a great
G-League All-Star.
Get right game.
Yeah, make sure everyone goes and votes for a certain Alabama center right now to be a G-League All-Star. Polls are open.
Did he play Saturday?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What did he do? Like, what was – how many minutes? Like, how did he look?
I didn't catch any of the game.
NBA, Jacob.
He played 25 minutes. He had 13 points on 5 of 6 shooting and 3 rebounds.
That's crazy to just add a G League guy middle of
That's
the year.
Right. 25 minutes off the bench.
If I remember correctly, Condon dominated him 2 years ago. Coleman Coliseum.
Yeah.
He dominated them, and that was really the game that put the Todd Golden Florida Gators on the map as being a legitimate threat in the SEC. So maybe Alex will be very happy to see him next Saturday.
Hey, just a thought on Nate Oates. Anytime you have to like open a press conference by going, "Hey, look, the sport is broken. The sport's broken." And that's your justification for whatever your actions are, like, you're probably not on the right side of history. So, and then comparing European guys that have played in like lower tiers for a few $1,000 to a guy that played in the NIL era at Alabama before.
Oh, and their AD saying that guys have made millions over there. That's just patently false.
It's just not true. Yeah. Just simply not true.
He made the choice. Like, the process of joining the league, like, it's not, I don't know if it's, I've never entered the NBA draft, but I'd imagine it's not like, so, hey, here it is, you know, you receive grades, you receive results, you know, you're in it. And to just be able to come back to school, it's what happened to the game I love, you know?
Well, didn't Zion pulling miss a few games for staying in like a couple days?
Yeah.
He like stayed in a couple days too long before withdrawing his name. Like he didn't even become close to the draft. Like think about that. Like he was that was like 2 months before the draft even took place.
And he's funny. Like, it's funny you mention that because, like, they used to penalize people for the silliest things imaginable so they could, you know, stick their necks out, puff their chest that they're the NCAA. And now
just
to do this complete 180 and just let the inmates run the asylum, I think that might be a Mike Tomlin bar. It's insane to just go back on this, let someone who's played in the league for 2 years – and then just, hey, yeah, he's going to be in Gainesville. But I know the Breakfast Boys are going to give it to him, so I have no doubts in that.
Hey, I will. We did roast the Rowdy Reptiles last show. I will give them credit. Chanting DUI at Pettiford.
That's good.
Was nice to hear.
That's the energy that we're looking for a little bit. Rowdy Reptiles.
I had a bad feeling about that game when they started chanting that. I was like, oh, no, this is not going to – I was like, this is going to end with like a Tahad Pettiford – buzzer beater three, and then him like driving all over us.
For accountability and accuracy's sake, the 2023 game against Alabama, Bediako played 21 minutes. He had 8 points, 5 rebounds. Then he spent 2 years in the NBA, and then now he's coming to Gainesville. But that was Colin Castleton that had a big game, 29 points, 10 rebounds. And we got beat 97-69 in Tuscaloosa. That was the only time.
Well, while you're also voting for Charles for G League All Star, make sure you vote for Elijah Martin and Colin Castleton on that list. So
there you go.
Those would be two giant additions, especially Elijah, if Todd wants to jump into the G League sweepstakes to add a guy right here before the tournament.
Well, I'm thinking.
I wanted to ask.
I'm thinking Matt Walsh might be able to come back. Go ahead, Levy.
I was just going to say, while we're talking about Bediako, Todd made headlines last week. I don't think we got to talk about it. His Gator Talk podcast last week. Any thoughts on him talking about Nate Oates and we'll beat him anyway?
It was a lot cooler. It was a lot cooler before he lost to Auburn.
True.
No, but I like the energy. I mean,
yeah,
I'm sure that he wishes that we beat Auburn the day after he makes public comments about that too. So
fair.
I mean, it doesn't change anything. We're going to beat him anyway.
There you go.
It does solidify Todd as a leader of college basketball.
Bro, he just says what he wants.
He does, and he backs it up. And maybe he, they don't really get that in the NBA. So maybe he's going to be fit for the college game for much longer than we thought.
He does what he does. That's another statement relevant in college football these days with the whole Clemson Ole Miss thing. But I love the comments from Todd. Obviously, yeah, he lost after, but he gets it. He's always fiery, and expect nothing less from him.
And to be fair for Todd, I mean, he was probably more direct than anybody has been on the subject matter. But wasn't it Mark Pope like 2 days before was like, we got to take a stand and we can't allow this? I don't know that he specifically mentioned Nate Oates or Bama or Bediako, but it's not like Todd was the only guy or coach that had thoughts and didn't mind sharing them. So
I think
Todd just makes the headlines.
That's right. That's the logo.
Yeah.
Cal had a good statement on it too last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him and Izzo have been strong on the front lines.
Speaking of bringing the energy as a coach, I know our new football coach was in the building. What do you guys think of seeing Summerall at the in the O-Dome?
Yeah,
I really wish. Go ahead, Jackson.
He sat baseline all game. He was jumping up, fist pumping. He got in the crowd with the Rowdy Reptiles for a little bit. I think after his little talk at the under four timeout, sat with them for the remainder of the first half. He was doing the gator chomp. You know, when we do the free throw and hold the chomp and clap, he kind of looked around for a second, saw everyone else hold up their hands and goes, oh shoot, this is what we're supposed to do. So he was interacting with everybody. He was having a lot of fun chanting on defense.
Chanting DUI at Bedford?
They tried to get him to do that. He would not engage in that behavior.
Classy.
Unfortunately.
Classy.
I really wanted him to say that Auburn wanted him and he chose Florida instead. I thought that would have been really nice and relevant. But, you know.
He's not a headline guy like Todd, it doesn't seem.
I guess maybe he wants to win first. But he didn't really, you know, he didn't say that much. He just said, we're going to be, you know, blue collar, hardworking team, that sort of thing, you know,
football guy.
I was wanting to hear Florida State sucks, but so does Georgia and Miami.
Yeah.
A little Signetti. Will, I know I know Will had to appreciate the orange crew neck, though, at least.
The orange Florida script crew neck was pretty sweet. That should be something he wears on the sidelines instead of a black polo. Just food for thought.
Wait, just to confirm, we're wearing logos now or not wearing logos?
Once we earn them.
So he's earned it.
He technically, yeah. I mean, I think Scott Strickland sort of gave it to him, but he has technically earned it.
There you go. Okay.
Just and maybe, to have y'all maybe it's like maybe it's you. Maybe it's the patch. Like the Florida script isn't the patch, right? That's just the,
there you go.
That's like that's an identifier, and the logo is like the patch. But we'll
no
see.
Logo,
and,
he's
saying, you know, logos Monday, it was nice and exciting. It got the building going, and so. Spring game, I think, got announced.
It was nice seeing Jaden Ball and Aaron Filo sitting courtside right in front of us. They were energized. They were into the game. They were singing. You know, when Won't Back Down was occurring in the second half. So, good to see some of the players there. A bunch of recruits in the stands. I think we had like 8 blue chip offensive linemen. We got a first 2027 commit and some defensive back out of American Heritage.
Nice.
It's always nice taking players from – that school, a lot of great talent coming out of Fort Lauderdale. So I thought it was.
I think our last great American Heritage player was Marco Wilson, right?
I believe it was, which obviously it didn't end well, but pretty effective start.
I think we got a running back, but I think Byron Lewis is from there too.
American Heritage, they're a factory. I mean, Malachi Tony, not going to talk about, you know, Miami a whole lot, but he's from American Heritage. Back in my day, played American Heritage in high school. They had Sony Michelle toting the rocket running back. That was fun when you're the kicker and he's on kick return. Isaiah McKenzie, a couple other former dogs that were just running right at old Sammy, and I just bailed out. But absolute factory. So if you can kind of get that pipeline going, American Heritage to UF, I'm all for that, and for that to be Sammy's first high school commit. To be from a real esteemed, it's honestly basically a miniature college in South Florida, one of those top programs. Really good sight to see.
Hey, did you make any plays on those guys or what?
No, I think we reached a point maybe halfway second quarter. It was, we're going to take the illegal procedure and you're just going to kick this one out of bounds, SG.
Nice.
Did y'all watch the This Is the Swamp episode that came out? There was a part that they showed with Summerall addressing the team in their first team meeting. And one of the first thing that he said to them was, you know, congratulations to you guys. Clap it up for beating the shit out of Florida State, which I really, really appreciated seeing.
That was good.
I'll have to peep.
I think the best part was telling his kid, if you're too scared to do the gator chomp getting off the plane, don't get off the plane. Like, you know, we're here to win, and just the energy he brought in that video. I think starting off seeing Todd Golden going through the facility in the stadium with his family and kids, just seeing that raw side of him on his first day as a Gator was probably the best part.
It sounds like he's into tough coaching for his kids, so he probably appreciates all the tough coaching we're going to do this first time he screws up the middle eight. One bad timeout. We'll be here to let you know, Coach. Don't worry, but we're going to get it fixed.
Tough coaching, Todd.
It does. All these people said we've been too negative, and then we praise the team, and they put up a stinker against Auburn. We got players looking like they don't know how to play basketball.
That's so
we won't let that happen again.
I was just thinking about how fun it's been to podcast, like get on and all we do is just give flowers for 45 minutes and jump off and watch our team dominate again. So we needed it too. It hardens you up a little bit, get you ready for March to lose a game you're supposed to win. Yeah, exactly.
We're talking about our trip the first weekend, where we're going. We were already looking at flights, checking out Airbnb.
Booking Airbnb, getting ready. Getting ready for the coronation week one.
We got a little ahead of ourselves. So
let us be the first to say that we're sorry for that performance. Won't happen again
on us.
It only took 35 minutes into the episode, but yes, we do apologize for the the stinker Saturday in Gainesville. All right, boys, anything else before we wrap up?
Big week.
Let's go beat South Carolina, get back on track.
That's it.
Yep, and then Sunday, a big one in Gainesville against Alabama. So we'll probably record Sunday evening, no NFL on. Pre-Super Bowl week, so we'll probably get back to our regular scheduled programming, hopefully coming to you after a 2-0 week. We'll find out. So I appreciate you guys for listening. Again, make sure you're following, liked, and subscribed on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. Follow us at Twitter at BreakfastWTG. Interact with us, leaving comments, sharing. We appreciate all the support. Thanks for listening. Go Gators.
Go Gators. Go Gators.